For 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour here at Rosie on the House, the fourth and final hour of our weekly broadcast. And this is where we talk specifically about one element of your home, castle, or cabin. Starting last year, when we started publishing our home maintenance calendars, we picked one topic to cover the whole month. And if you've got your home maintenance calendar up, or you've been listening and tuned in the last couple weeks, you know we've been talking about plumbing all month long. Different angles, different aspects, water heaters, the supply side of plumbing, the drain line of plumbing. We've talked about rebuilding your own cartridges and your faucets. And we've got Isley's Home Services in here with us today. We've got George Cathy, the general manager, the service manager.
Service manager.
To talk about things you can do to help keep the need for a plumber to show up at your home, just silly things that we do day in and day out without thinking about it. Who would have thought potato peels and your garbage disposal could cost you a couple hundred dollars on a replacement and clean out. But before we get into all that, George, how'd you break into the trades?
I got my first taste of it. There's a close family friend of mine's of the family back in California, and he had his own contracting business. So I would go out him during the summer and help him dig trenches and dig water lines and all that type of stuff. So that's where I got my first taste of it. Then I went and got other types of jobs and realized that I really liked working with my hands. So then I went to a trade school in Long Beach, California, graduated from there. Shortly after, I moved out here, kind of started in the new construction remodeling. From there, transitioned into service work. Worked for a couple of service companies here in the Valley and just kind of moved up from there. You know, went from a service tech to a supervisor to now service manager.
No denying the shortage of labor that we face. And one of the hard things that I see is everyone's competing for labor. You've got the Farm Bureau competing for labor, the need for manual labor. You've got the Carpenters Union competing for manual labor. All the different industries in construction. You've got mechanics competing for trade labor. There needs to be a combined central effort of all these different industries that require that the computers can't replace.
For sure.
To really educate people out there that there are great careers available in trade, in labor, in craftsmanship, and you can make a good living at it.
Absolutely. And these jobs can't be outsourced, so there's always a need for them. And right now, there's an incredible shortage. I mean, we have a very hard time attracting good talent. So anybody that has a good, solid...
Because good talent's already getting paid pretty good, and they're not incentivized to move.
Exactly.
And you still have to be competitive as a plumber. It's good living, but you're not making $250,000 a year either.
No, it's a comfortable living, yeah, for sure.
So it's anyone that's worth their weight has a good job.
Yeah.
And those owners are motivated to keep them because they know how detrimental it would be to try and go and replace a good, skilled tradesman.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Just anybody with good work ethic.
Because you can learn it.
Exactly. Just showing up, being on time, and just being willing to put in a good hard day's work. That's really all it takes.
So where would you point somebody? You'd mentioned trade school. Somebody coming out of high school, where would you direct them to getting started? I mean, I know, like you said, if you've got a good work ethic, you can get on-the-job training in a lot of places.
Just... For sure. And it was 10, 11, 12 years ago when I went to trade school. I think now there's such a high need that, again, if you have good work ethic, you can show up to pretty much any contractor that needs help, and they'll be willing to give you a shot, and you can learn on the job and get paid while you're learning instead of paying to learn.
And oftentimes for a return on your education investment that's you may never get back.
Exactly.
All right, so you put together a list of things that we as homeowners can do to help help our plumbing system to avoid the need for having a service call.
Yeah. Some of the most common problems we see is just drain clogs. A lot of them can be prevented just by the homeowner being aware of what they're doing and just taking a little bit of precaution. I mean, the first and most obvious is not to pour anything greasy, oily, any type of shortening or anything like that down the drains.
Now, what happens if I have something greasy on my plate?
You should try to get as much of it off as you can, but it's always going to be some residue left. If you do, go ahead and wash the dishes normal. What you don't want to do, put anything like potato skins, rice, pasta, or anything like that down the garbage disposal, just because they're tough and they're starchy, and sometimes they'll make it past the garbage disposal only to get down the drain a little bit further and clog up there.
A couple years of buildup in the drain, it doesn't take something big to get clogged, to clog that drain line.
No, not at all, especially the little small drains underneath the sink. You want to stay away from anything that's hard, such as seeds or bones or anything stringy or fibrous like celery. I mean, those are things you want to keep out the garbage disposal. And to kind of answer your question, if you do have anything greasy going down the garbage disposal, you typically want to run cold water. And it's kind of counterintuitive. You would think that...
You would think hot water.
You would think hot water, right? But the hot water is going to make that fat liquid. And then once it gets further down the drain, it will solidify, and then you're going to have a problem further away. If you use cold water, the concept is that that fat or grease will stay solid, where it can be carried away by the water out to the city sewer, where it won't cause you any issues.
That is very counterintuitive, and I do I will change that habit today. You've also got liquid detergent. You guys like that over the powdered?
Yes, something that we see. And the theory is that because our water is so hard, that detergents, soaps have a hard time dissolving. So especially those little convenient pods, even though they're very convenient, because they have that clumping agent in it that makes it into a pod, once it gets down the drain, it clumps right back together because it didn't dissolve. So if you have any low spots in the drain, any sharp turns, it's going to collect right there, and over time, it's going to eventually lead to a stoppage.
All right, so I've got nothing down the garbage disposal other than water. Change my soap
from powder to
powder
liquid.
To liquid. And while we're talking liquids down the drain, are you guys a fan of liquid drain cleaner? Yeah.
Not really. I haven't really seen it be effective. What it usually does is makes our job harder and makes us have to wear more safety equipment in order to not get it in our eyes or on our face or on our hands.
I've the only plumbers I know that endorse it are the ones that you see talking about it on TV that you know are just probably paid actors.
Exactly. Probably never had to actually clear a drain. Let's see. Some other things are being careful what you flush down the toilet. A lot of people flush paper towels, Kleenex, those wet wipes.
And even the ones that say flushable?
They're flushable. They'll go down the toilet. It's just what happens after that that is where the issue starts.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago where the water test. Take out toilet paper and a Kleenex to your back patio, put it on the concrete, pour water on it, and see which one you can pick up. The toilet paper immediately starts to disintegrate, and you don't want to put anything down your toilet that doesn't do that.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens. It gets caught up on something that's a minor imperfection that normally wouldn't be an issue if it was only toilet paper. But if it's paper towels or something that's designed to hold up under moisture, it's just going to pile up and create a problem.
When we're talking about protecting what's going down the drain, for our showers, you know, obviously a lot of hair buildup. I'm trying not to get too gross. It's about the time a lot of people start moving to their brunch. And
they sell them in the grocery stores. You see them at hardware stores, the big box stores. Just those little screens, those strainers that you can just throw over the drain and try to catch some of that hair. That could prevent, you know, your tub or your shower from getting clogged.
That is a gag reflex that I still have, is cleaning a drain, that pulling out a big club of hair, because it's not just the hair, but it collects everything, the soaps, the shampoos, the shaving cream, the whatever that we use that gets washed down there, and it's just it's like...
It's like a time capsule. It just shows...
You know... And... And who's the guy that does all the scary movies? Stephen King?
Stephen King, yeah.
It, what you can pull out of your dreams, guy. Yeah. Stephen King doesn't have anything on any of his scary movies. All he needed to do was empty his drain, and he could have come up with something scarier. Okay, so the last thing is are the aerators and our faucets and shower heads. It's amazing what keeping those clean will do for the pressure in your home.
Yeah, that's a pretty common one, and it's easily rectified. A lot of people call in and say, hey, I don't have any pressure in my shower. I don't have any pressure in my faucet. We get there, we take the aerator off. It's just a little screen back there that catches sediment, and we rinse it out and put it back on, and everything works like new. So I would encourage all the listeners to become familiar with what an aerator is and how to take it off and just periodically clean it out.
And I drop ours into a little just cup of vinegar and leave it for a couple days, take it out, scrub it.
That's all a good idea. Okay. Yeah. Which you don't want to put it in like CLR or anything like that, or that's really caustic, especially if you have a special finish on it, like the brushed nickels or the bronze colors, because it can't eat that finish off. But vinegar is usually mild enough that it won't cause any damage to the finish.
All right. So there's our list of things that you can do simply as a homeowner to avoid needing a service call. We've got some interesting things coming up in the next segment, just some milestones in plumbing. Yes, there was milestones in the development of our plumbing systems. We don't think about it. We take it for granted because unless it's broken. I mean, the water's at the faucet and it carries down the drain. How much time do you spend thinking about it past that? But there's a huge industry behind this that spends a lot of time thinking about it, and just some of those developments that have come over the course of time here at Rosie on the House with Isley's Home Services.